I'm here on a job site with Tim, who owns his own electrical contracting business.
3 employees and 2 work trucks.
Tim traded up to Geico Commercial Auto Insurance. We're positively here where he needs us most.
They sure are.
With step-by-step help on all his insurance needs, all for shockingly low rates.
Shockingly low, huh?
Just a little bit of electrician humour. Do you get it?
I got it.
You know, it feels like we have a real connection. All right, I'll stop.
Get a commercial auto insurance quote today at geico.com and see how much you could save. Get more with Geico.
AI agents are everywhere, automating tasks and making decisions at machine speed. But agents make mistakes. Just one rogue agent can do big damage before you even notice. Rubrik Agent Cloud is the only platform that helps you monitor agents, set guardrails, and rewind mistakes, so you can unleash agents, not risk. Accelerate your AI transformation at Rubrik.com. That's Rubrik.com.
Scottish football's league leader. This is Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Well, halftime around the country, depending where you are, I guess, because I just noticed Hamilton Accies, a bit of a Lanarkshire derby there, already one up at home to Airdrie. Ollie Shaw with the goal on 47 minutes, so we're definitely up and running there, but we will not be up and running at McDermott Park. So let's take the chance to go back, because David Friel had a late one. All Motherwell so far, David?
Yeah, I think, as I said, you know, they're definitely in control. St Johnston, you know, I've kind of huffed and puffed a bit. I just think Motherwell look a far better team, Gordon. I think they play a system. Shuck Ketwell talks about his game model and structure, and I just think they look far more comfortable in possession. Lennon Miller's been pretty good. Andy Halliday, you know, I know you give him a hard time on the show, but I think he's been absolutely excellent, really influential in midfield, and what a goal it would have been from him. I think there's a good mix for Motherwell. Obviously, Zach Robinson's kind of strong running, I think that gave them a focal point, so we'll see how that changes with Tony Watt. He might be more inclined to drop in. I think overall, Shuck Ketwell should be pretty happy with the first half performance. For Craig Levein, I just think St Johnstone really need to get things going and try and, you know, I don't mean to be old-fashioned, but just get Motherwell turned a bit more. And we spoke earlier about Adama Sidibe and how much they would miss his physical presence and strong running. I just don't really think they've pinned Motherwell back enough in that first half.
When you look at the... I've got this theory, David, and I've not studied it that closely, but it's just something that always sticks with me, that every year the team that goes down usually has an issue in goal. Teams with brilliant goalies just don't ever seem to go straight down. You look at the goal that St Johnstone conceded at Tannadice last week. By all accounts, the goalie comes and misses it for Dan Casey's goal today. Is that potentially becoming a problem?
Yes, Gordon, I had that exact conversation with a St Johnstone supporting friend the other day, and I said to him, Craig Levein needs to decide on a goalkeeper. You know, he brought Josh Ree in. I think Dimitar Mitov was a huge man to the place. He's such a good goalkeeper. No surprise to me that Aberdeen signed him. Josh Ree, young keeper, did well at Airdrie. I think he will be a good keeper in time. Craig Levein probably has to decide whether he's going to be the number one. Is Ross Sinclair, who's getting his chance. Young Craig Hepburn's on the bench. I know St Johnstone got high hopes of him, but I would agree with you. I think the teams in recent years that have chopped and changed goalkeepers have struggled, so I think that's clearly an issue that Craig Levein is going to have to sort. He's going to have to stick with one for the long haul, because I don't think chopping and changing helps a defence or helps a team at all.
Okay, we'll leave David Friel to get that second half up and running when it's ready. Let's do this nice and early. Let's get the second half teaser. Give you as much chance as possible.
The second half teaser
with the ScottishSun.co.uk/football for the best football news and opinion online.
I am backing the Dazzler to get this in 2 minutes.
Ooh.
I have 16 caps for Scotland and won all 3 major trophies in Scotland. I have played alongside Joe Ledley and John McGinn. I have been managed by Alec McLeish and Owen Coyle. Who am I?
Oh, too easy. Today.
I've got it in 2 seconds.
Come on. It's
right.
A race.
Do you want it?
At Clyde S. No, at Clyde SSB, you're going to have to be quick, because that is doable. Read the clues again, please, Hugh.
I have 16 caps for Scotland and won all 3 major trophies in Scotland. I have played alongside Joe Ledley and John McGinn. I've been managed by Alec McLeish and Oney Coyle. Who am I?
I think we need to crank it next week. Difficulty level. We've given a couple of weeks just to get the season up and running. Easy in. Next week we'll go in hard on it. But Gordon Deal does have it already. So if you don't, you're going to really need to look at yourself when you think about it.
Yeah, true.
He's absolutely flying with us. So anyway, there we go. Right, the second halves are up and running. You've got your teaser. We're asking you to tweet it at Clyde SSB. And incidentally, that's where you send anything else that you want to get across to us. We're having a bit of fun today. Mark Wilson's distraught because he can't get Oasis tickets like many of you. Hugh Keevans has interviewed Noel Gallagher before. And we're asking you, in an Oasis style, what from Scottish football would you like to see make a dramatic comeback? It could be anything. I mean, Gordon Dale kicked us off wanting carbolic soap and the big bath brought back. We've had great suggestions, you know, like really serious, literal ones, like football before VAR. Mark Wilson wants to bring himself back to get more wages.
Yep.
We've had macaroon bars and spearmint chewing gum and all the rest of it. So whatever you want, the more obscure the better. What would you like to see make a comeback in Scottish football in an Oasis style? You'll be pleased to know, Hugh, it is Scottish Cup first round. You would think.
Yeah,
I would know that. The draw's tomorrow, so I should probably check it before then. Clyde Banker 3-0 up on St Andrews United. Alan Hudson has been keeping me up to speed on what's happening.
Well,
there
my daughter and her husband and our Michael are there. Had a brilliant start to the season. The Bankies undefeated, and we're just waiting for the big derby with Drumchapel United coming up.
They do well, the Bankies, eh?
Yeah,
kind of favourites-ish for that league now. And St Andrews United don't play at that level, so you would expect a win in the Scottish Cup.
And only by looking, passing the ground, it looks like they're getting some decent crowds in there as well.
Yeah.
It's really scientific. Crowds. Just looks.
He loves crowds.
To be fair, I counted
half of them
eight.
Was parked in the car park for the shops across the road. Though
I counted eight.
Here's
I
one.
Played at the old Bankies ground.
I did say the more sort of specific, the better. S. McInnes wants to bring back the different goal nets that you saw at the different grounds. Oh. Loved the way the ball nestled in them, rather than the uniformed ones now they have. There was something satisfying about seeing balls hit the back of the net. 20, 30 years ago, nearly every ground had unique goal nets.
That's pretty specific.
I disagree with it.
What, you like the uniformed approach?
Baggy was... I don't mind that if they're different, but I can't do baggy. You know the one where the ball just kind of like rolls down the net once it goes in. No,
yeah.
No.
You know, like that.
You want to see if it can bounce back out.
You know what I like? The old stanchions, though. When somebody used to put it in the stanchion and it would stick in there.
Yeah.
The nets, I do hate Wembley. See how big the nets are back from the actual post. I hate those nets.
Yeah.
But I remember that in those days. So
see, like the ones that sort of slope down behind the bar rather than the squeeze. Because then you can't properly hit it into the roof of the net. There's nothing better when it rises all that way behind the crossbar and then goes.
No, I would agree with you in that. Like the next in his day. Like when you see old
baggy
footage.
Things.
Yeah.
Baggy. The strips were baggy, the nets were baggy.
Yeah.
But everything was baggy.
What about Buffon at the Champions League draw? He's a smoothie, you know what?
Well, I didn't watch it. These things last too long.
No. Oh, well, let me tell you, it was 27 minutes before we got to anything to do with the draw. 27 minutes.
Oh, I nearly read out that name. Let's not. Let's call them at Funky Spider because the actual other bit's not great. First tackle free. No yellow, no red. No. Definitely no VAR. Just play on.
No, I had that.
But that
idea.
Was never a. It was never a official thing, though, was it?
Oh, but yeah, no official. But let me guarantee you, right? You played against. I'll look at players like, and he was brilliant. Roy Aitken, for instance. You knew. First ball up to you, bang.
Yeah.
Same with Tom Forsythe and all these guys that played with Rangers. Anybody, McLeish Miller, bang. It was ridiculous. So absolutely not a chance that's coming back.
I'm with Daz in that one. Can you agree? Well, it still happened. Matt Riley's challenge the other night. Was
well,
that no
exactly,
first
yeah.
one free?
Certainly looked like it.
Did the boy get booked for that?
No.
First one free. Terrible. Yeah, first one free.
Do you remember Neely Cooper?
I played against Neil. I played with Neil in the Scotland under-18s.
Well,
you started that as Scotland under-18s.
I can't remember the age level.
Kick off at Pittodrie.
Yeah, that's right. Was it straight away.
Yeah, inside the centre circle and booked for it. Foul on Charlie Nicholas within 5 seconds.
That tells you everything you need to know about the standard at that time.
It was competitive.
Just see when you're concentrating that. It's much more technical and players are more gifted now. It's quicker.
Nah, I don't
rubbish
know.
Back in your
absolute
day.
Absolute nonsense.
Thuggery.
That players are more gifted.
Thugs.
Now,
You've just admitted yourself.
I'll tell you what.
Roy Aitken was a thug, you said.
No, I did not say that.
That's what it sounded like.
Do not put words in my mouth. I said Roy Aitken was a terrific player. I said, first tackle, not for me, free. Listen, bring back players with ability. That's my new one.
You wouldn't have been in that.
I
don't know what he's been eating for his breakfast, Andy Halliday, bursting into the box. He gathers the ball, but the angle was tight. Tony Watt now gets in with the cutback, but it's saved. So Motherwell picking up where they left off. But usual cliches apply. Got to try and turn that into a second goal, Gordon. You never know what St Johnstone can produce out of nothing.
Exactly. You're not going to dominate the game for 90 plus minutes, especially away from home. And when you're on top, you've got to make sure you put this game to bed. They're 1-0 up. Another one would certainly do that, Gordon, let's be honest about it. But the good news is they've started the second half brightly as well.
Yeah, Dundee go close. Portales heads just wide. It was a free kick from the right, swung in, and he headers it just past St Mirren. Still leading in that one, aren't they? 2-1. Yeah, I forgot. No, updated my sheet. Never. Nothing worse. Thistle been better in the second half, even though they're 1-0 up against Queen's Park. Would you ever go into the first team dressing room as the under 18s manager, just try and give them an extra pep talk, extra bit of advice?
No. I use the actual, our office is based right beside the first team dressing room.
Shout in.
But I use the other toilet. I wouldn't go in. That's their space.
Yeah. With M&D Green Pharmacy.
Goal Dundee. Dave Galloway is getting a treat. It's one of the summer recruits. It's Larkesh. A good passing move. Tends to play off the left, and it's a cool finish to make it another goal in that game. Really impressive day for Dave Galloway in the sun. 2-2 now, 54 minutes on the clock. What a match.
Well, fair play to both of them. As I say, St Mirren got a chasing from Celtic last weekend. Dundee have lost their captain and inspiration, Luke McCowan, and they both got on with it and made a right good job of it today. 2-2 so far.
They're a bit like what I was saying about Falkirk, Dundee. I think they've started the season so well, carrying on for last season, that there is a resilience about them. You look at them last week, 2-1 down at Easter Road, where they were the better team, but they've still got that bit about them that they drag themselves into games, and they've done the same today. And again, you wouldn't put it past them to go.
Oh, there's
win
a winner
one.
There somewhere. Ah. There's definitely a winner somewhere. I had to laugh there. I wouldn't get into the Party Thistle first team dressing. I wouldn't even get in for a toilet. A man who gets his toilet carried up a hill. Come on.
Hey,
he would just phone me Bomber or what's his name?
Chopper.
Chopper.
Don't forget Chopper.
Chopper. Just bypass that first team dressing room, turn right.
No game last night for the Maryhill Mourinho.
No, we had to rearrange it for last Wednesday. So, yeah.
And how did that go?
A resounding victory, yeah.
Again?
Boys are playing well. Yeah. Doing well, the lads.
Who was that against?
Awa.
That's all I went, all right, okay, Awa.
You can only beat who's in front of you. You can't beat the top teams every week.
Very true. Stenhouse Muir, 3-1, one of their summer signings. Blair Alston with the goal there on 57 minutes.
Ex Thistle. Did well in the tail end of last season for Thistle.
Are we duty bound to keep a closer eye now on Celtic and Rangers Euro opponents? Especially Villa is a long time away, so I don't know what relevance
leading,
it has,
they?
But they're 1-0 up at Leicester. So, like I say, you've got a bit of time before we have to think of. That's the last one in Celtic's group.
I know John McGinn's uncle. Uncle Johnny.
He send you down.
Big Celtic fan. He'll be going through agonies now.
You should tell. I actually feel like you should tell us a bit more about that time Celtic missed out on John McGinn. I feel like you don't mention it enough.
No.
It's a documentary in there somewhere. You
don't get me started.
By the time you finish, you'll have that moustache and beer bag.
Oh, he's on the receiving end as well now. Bad tackle on Halliday. Cammy McPherson booked.
Oh, that's the lump's coming and he's coming off
dominant. No, but did I genuinely. I said this in the show, but you two would have missed this. You two have got in my head with this, and it's actually unfair. So there was a couple of weeks ago, I went to the Kilmarnock game, right? He bursts through the midfield. He's driving forward with the ball, and he sort of just, to me in the stand, I thought, oh, he just got kind of crowded out. People caught up with him. He went down. He was moaning about no free kick, and I thought, oh, should have done better. He came in here on the Monday, six stitches up his Achilles, because in that move Liam Polworth had stood on the back of his. So I'm in the stand.
Nah.
I like the guy. Well, and I'm in the stand
every
thinking,
so often
this guy,
you get a real one,
on.
Don't you? You get a real one. So many times you can bluff it.
He's done that on a Sunday somewhere in the park or something. The badge will be getting kissed in the next 10 minutes. He warms up with a limp.
It's a pod to the fans.
Exactly. I know, I love that. Especially if you have a good game. Get me off. It can only go downhill.
Dumbarton 1, Scott Allen's Kelty Hearts 2. Still not him that scored though, so I won't really mention it so much. But a good game there in Dumbarton. What else have we got? Nothing much happening here. A quick visit to the teaser early on, the first one of the second half, Hugh.
Yep. I have 16 caps for Scotland and won all three major trophies in Scotland. I have played alongside Joe Ledley and John McGinn. I've been managed by Alec McLeish and Owen Coyle. Who am I?
I don't even think you'll read out one wrong answer.
No, I knew someone would do this as a wrong answer. Scott Mullen thinks it's Stephen Fletcher.
Ah, Scott.
You can see the thinking.
Yeah, yeah.
So I knew that would happen. But yeah, a few people getting it. Let's see what you can come up with at Clyde SSB on Twitter. Like we said, we are having a bit of fun there, an Oasis-inspired discussion about what would you like to see from Scottish football making a dramatic comeback. I mean, one of the first ones we had from GP was scrap the passback rule. Surely not. That must have been rubbish in your day.
It was great. The goalkeeper could just pick it up and awful. Lump on the pass.
Absolutely
awful.
Have it got
up, head it on. Away you go. End-to-end football, that was called in those days.
I know when you tweak things, it sometimes can be seen for the worst. Surely nobody was calling for a like that. Can't have been better.
I can't believe it took them that long to
figure
it out.
You could pass it back to the goalie and he could pick it up.
Yeah.
Oh,
talk about time wasting.
Good football. That's when football was successful.
How mad did it ever get? Genuinely,
do you know how many macaroon bars and spearmint gum they sold in those days?
Would players ever like genuinely like in the opposition's half just turn and just fire one all the way back just to sort of waste time?
Oh yeah.
Oh jeez.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Rubbish.
Remember the famous Lee Dixon on goal? You remember that one at Highbury? It was always played in the bloopers and it was passed back to him right back loads of time and he tried to chip it back. I think it was to Seaman and chipped him. But that just, he deserved everything he got because he's, you know, no thought of going forward, just what a time waste. But how long did it take him to discover that, you know, players are just time wasting and passing it back to the goalie. He's picking up, roll it back out, pass it back.
I like
dreadful.
The club deck is onto something for me. Unless you're really, really doing something stupid, no bookings for certain celebrations. Quite right.
Yeah, yeah. I agree with that.
See the shirt off. Go daft. Who cares? Here's it round your head. And
yeah.
Here's one I'm going to throw in. 50-50 split Rangers and Celtic games.
50-50?
Yeah.
For league games.
I'd love to see
how
that.
How are you going
to
manage that?
No, you couldn't manage that. But what the old days were brilliant. Okay. You had the Celtic end, you had the Rangers end when it was Old State. Brilliant. Hugh will remember them.
League games were 50-50.
No, it wasn't. That wasn't the case.
Well, you had one end.
You're not bringing something back that never existed.
Hold on, 60-40.
Right, they played a League Cup tie. Ibrox midweek, and that was 50-50.
Right, cup ties, okay.
That was 50-50.
Well, there you go. I was not too far away.
Oh, nonsense. Anyway, St Mirren sub Idowu on for Phillips. It's 2-2 in that game up at Dens Park. It's an absolute cracker for Dave Galloway. Who's going on to win that one from here?
St Mirren.
I think the home team will probably edge it. I fancied St Mirren at the beginning, but I fancy now that Dundee are back in the game, hitting down the hill.
Really good. Not a lot between the sides on the day, which I suppose if you're basing on last season, you wouldn't be surprised. 5 points between them, was it, to round off the season last season?
Oh.
So not a lot. Recently Leicester 0 Aston Villa 2 now. Again, incidentally, Celtic's future opponents, as they will now be referred.
Atalanta lost 4-0.
Ah, they're hopeless then. Get
last
Celtic
night
down for a
they lost to Internazionale.
Tough fixture, I guess. We'll maybe let them off. If things had gone differently, Matt O'Reilly would have gone there, wouldn't have been injured, would have faced Celtic in the Champions League, sliding doors and all that sort of stuff. What other moves have we not discussed that you quite liked the look of? Because obviously the way of the world on here, we spoke a lot about Celtic and Rangers. Was there anything else that jumped out for you?
Well, I mentioned to you before the show, the young boy for Dundee United going on loan to Southampton. Rory McLeod. Through that one, Rory McLeod. Now I thought that's obviously a misprint. That's the other way about. And then I thought, no, he is at Dundee United on loan to Southampton. Quite a strange one. But again, United produce good young players, and it's what we're finding is happening now. A lot of these good young players are just getting bought from teams down south. We saw the St Mirren lad going to Wolves for 300,000.
I like Kevin Nisbet going to Aberdeen.
It's easier for club, well, the, you know, clubs down south, and is it some sort of Brexit result? Yeah. And Fraser can give us the specifics, but they're able to come and get guys, young guys from Scotland, cheaper than from elsewhere.
Kevin Nisbet, Aberdeen, to replace Majovski.
The reason
if he keeps fit, that's it. For me, that's a good bit of business. I
the
like
reason
that.
Why that one intrigues me, Dazzler, is because when Shankland was in Belgium, he did nothing. Went to Hearts and has had the best time of his career so far. And I just wonder if Nisbet, after Millwall doing not very much, can find a real place for him to flourish at Pittodrie.
You always got to look at the circumstances that. And so, to be fair to you, it's easy not to. I think Lauren Shankland sometimes played like right midfield and stuff in Belgium. People don't really stop to pay attention to that. They just quickly look up how many goals did he score, how many appearances did he make, and make the judgments from there. What else we got? Lennon Miller fires one across the face, nobody there. So it certainly sounds like Motherwell will really need to look at adding to that, Gordon, because like we've seen there, you know, Kimpioka is electric on the break, and then a really good block from young Ewan Wilson, who's been good again. But that's just a sign of what could come to bite Motherwell if they don't convert one of these many chances.
Yeah, just listening to you, David, at half time, and obviously you're giving us the reports that have come through, Gordon. I think right now, and I know it's still early, you'd be disappointed to walk out there, say, for instance, with a point. You know, they've dominated most of the game. They've created most of the chances. They've played very well indeed. They just need the second killer goal.
There, you've got this exact wording from PFA Scotland's main man in Fraser Wishart. So the reason you're seeing all these Rory McLeods and everybody else, English clubs can't sign players from abroad until they're 18 because we're not in the EU anymore, in case you hadn't heard. That's for another phone-in probably.
Yeah, yeah.
That's FIFA regulations, but you can sign players from Scotland at 16.
Okay.
So it was other St Mirren to Wolves, the other one yesterday, wasn't it, as well? Yeah. Same applies to Scottish clubs, incidentally.
You see?
So there you go. That's why you're seeing it more often.
From Oasis to Brexit. This is the programme for
it.
You.
Listen, we've got a bit of everything.
Is that a good thing for Scottish players and clubs, though? Is it, you can see the goodness that clubs who maybe need a bit of money, get it in, but then we're losing our best players to England.
Surely it's too easy for English clubs to just come and do that and look at that as an option then and take more than they previously would have. That must be the, I suppose everyone's got their opinion on it, but Halliday now finds Miller at the back post, heads it across, probably should have tried to score.
He's coming in here with a bottle of champagne.
No, Lennon Miller.
No,
oh, you
Halliday.
Mean the man of the match?
Oh, he's maybe. Man of the match. He's been terrific.
There is every chance, you know, by the sounds of it.
No, but they don't. 10 years have a good game.
Who's going to give it out? It's not on TV. It'll be a home player that gets it up. I don't know how that works. Do Motherwell do their own?
I don't know.
Maybe they do. I know that you can vote for like Player of the Month on Motherwell's
own. Take it easy. Take it easy.
That's two good
player
games.
Player of the hour.
That's two good games, though. I mean, he did go off after 50 odd minutes. There we
go.
Simon Murray clean through, but a good save from Balcombe in the St Mirren goal to keep that one as it was. And it is a cracking game. Remember, will we get a winner? We've got about 20-ish minutes to find out. Oh, here's a goal in the Championship. Goal flashes with M&D Green Pharmacy. Partick Thistle 2, Queen's Park 0 in the big Glasgow derby of the weekend. And it's Aidan Fitzpatrick. A really good season last season, 72 minutes. A bit of luck in the sense it was a deflection. Sends the keeper the wrong way. But nevertheless, I don't think Chris Doolan will complain too much. Partick 2, Queen's Park 0.
Well, it stops the rot, doesn't it? You know, the gap between Partick down near the bottom and Ayr at the top, far, far too big. And that now they'll get their first victory of the season and they have to move on from there.
Yep. Good shout from Fraser. Did Fraser say it was going to end up 2-1 as well? But no, good news for Thistle. Aidan Fitzpatrick, good player. You know, when you get him playing at the top of his game, he's a defender's nightmare. And good that he's off the mark and off and running. That takes Thistle, well, it will take Thistle if it stays like that, right into the mix. Mid-table where they want to be.
Goal in McDermott Park. Goal flashes with M&D Green Pharmacy. You sort of sense that could come. If you get all that dominance and don't score, you can get bitten in you know where. And St Johnstone have done it to Motherwell, and it's Kim Pioca. He doesn't need his strike partner today. He can't have him due to suspension, but Kim Pioca dangerous in his own right. St Johnstone had just made a triple change as well. Holt, Kirk and Carey for Essel, Clark and McPherson. And Kirk comes on and makes it. Nice work, pass down the channel, and then eventually slips it under Aston Oxborough, does Kim Pioca, and it's St Johnstone 1, Motherwell 1.
It's a sucker punch that everyone knew was coming. If you dominate a game, you've created the chances, you're a better team, you're 1-0 up, you have got to put that game to bed. Second goal would have done that. All of a sudden, now you're thinking, well, hold on a minute, we could maybe, I was talking about leaving with 1 point, could leave with nothing.
That's a sickener for Stuart Keltwell, no doubt about it. You know, team playing well. For Craig Levine though, if you're a manager and you make three subs and look for a reaction, what better way to get it than one of the subs coming on making the goal? So their tails will be up. That's a dangerous, you know, what we got, 20 minutes left, 25 minutes left in that
25
one.
In that one, yeah.
Dangerous time for Motherwell.
Anyway, we do have goals going in the Premiership. It is a good game, clearly. Motherwell with lots of chances, lots of the ball. But St Johnstone have equalised there, and it's 2-2 in the other game as well, Dundee and St Mirren. So we're set up for a nice finish, that's for sure. Another reminder of the teaser, Hugh.
Yeah, I
have played. Have played. Yes.
Why do you fold it and put it away? We could get around this issue.
I know. I'll stop it. I have 16 caps for Scotland and won all three major trophies in Scotland. I played alongside Joe Ledley and John McGinn, who should have gone to Celtic, but that's another story. I have been managed by Alec McLeish and Owen Coyle. Who am I?
Harry thinks it's Derek Riordan.
Not
okay.
Derek,
okay,
no.
Okay. At Clyde SSB, if you want to come up with an answer, a guess to that question. Gordon Deal got it instantly. I don't know if that makes you feel bad about things if you've not quite got it yet, but it is the way that it lies in here. And also on Twitter, we've been asking you, inspired by Oasis, what from Scottish football's past would you like to see make a dramatic comeback? I've been really impressed with the responses to this, because it's been exactly what we've been looking for. Just so different, so many different suggestions all across the spectrum, from the serious ones to the humorous ones to the niche ones. One Bear says the Tennent Sixes.
Oh.
Also, obviously didn't see you at the Masters last year, Mark Wilson.
Ripped it up, got a med on the pocket. Literally ripped it up and my knees with the skin coming off them. But hey, that's coming back, November. I've been transferred to Dundee United.
I forgot about that. How good's that? Kicked out the Celtic team.
Hold on.
Can I ask you a question? I think I heard this when I drive. Has Big Marv been kiboshed out?
No, the full team Hibs have been kicked out. They got to the final last season.
Oh, but come on. They got to the final through just running into people.
Hold on a minute. How can you get to the final name? No, have your team.
Weren't they big enough names? You need to be top notch to be in there. They're going to the North East this time. Dundee United and Aberdeen have taken their places.
Have they?
And the United needed to bring in the big guns.
Yeah.
Guys that had been at finals.
Go
and
on,
that
name a couple of the players.
Gary Kenneth is in there.
Big saying, he'll be good. He'll butt for the high balls.
In there. I think John Rankin's in the side.
Ah, well,
another runner.
So me and John will be in there. Uh-huh. Paul Gallagher, who's now goalie coach at Hearts. He was
right. So, okay. I'm no.
Willow Flood.
Oh, so, I love Willow
Flood. There we go. We've got all the big
hitters. Goal scorer. You must have a striker.
I'm not sure. Who else is in there?
Must have a striker.
But I fancies.
Yeah.
I'm hoping somebody pulls it for Celtic.
He's going to get me called. He's going to be trying to hang on to all the Celtic players, isn't he? Try and get an invite back.
I'm just going to wear my medal for last year, just in case, you know.
I reckon
my place at the tournament.
If all the teams get knocked out and Breakin, and I think you'd play with Breakin. you just like the limelight, don't you?
No, it's for the love of the game.
Sanders has gone into the book for St Johnstone, taking out Tony Watt, resulting free kick. Andy Halliday puts it in. Dan Casey, the same combination as Motherwell's goal, but this time it goes just wide. So Motherwell have it all, the sort of chances as we mentioned, but St Johnstone took one, and that's the important bit. It remains St Johnstone 1, Motherwell 1. Would you like to hear a bit from Philippe Clement? I did say, yeah, in a change to your usual schedule, he did his press conference ahead of tomorrow's game today, this lunchtime. Very inconvenient for members of the media, but I'm not sure you will be too bothered about that one. Let's hear what he had to say about the transfer window.
It's a massive rebuild, and we looked at four layers in that way to get experienced players in the building, like the Propers and the Chernys and the Liam Kellys and those kind of players, and now with Bajrami also. We were looking for high potential young players who could step in short term to do directly the job, but could be added value for the future. And you can say the Diamandis, Cortes, Conor Barron, and I can continue like that, the Yeftes. Then the young potentials who are more for the long term. And then also to give chances more to academy players. So we worked in that way in all the transfer window. Of course, the more money that comes into your club, the more money you can spend. So that's been not much because of the situation and the legacy of the past and the contracts of the past. So we had to work with that, and we knew, and it's important to use that word also, we, because it's not an I story, it's a we story. That means the board, me, recruitment. We knew that it would take time, and probably it would not be possible also in one transfer window.
Very echoey from Philippe Clement, but you got the gist, Hugh Keevans.
Yeah, everything hinges on tomorrow for me. You know, Rangers have spent good money on Barami, and they have taken a punt on the Feyenoord defender, Castanheiro. So the fans basically don't know who these players are. But they didn't know who Vaslav Cherny was until he got here, and he looks a decent player with a beautiful eye for a pass. So it's what they do on the park. We can talk all day about his financial difficulties and having to get rid of players to get others in. We've been, it's a well-worn story, and he's been honest about it. But tomorrow, I'm not sure we'll see any of the either of the signings that were made yesterday, but tomorrow he's got to look for a positive result, of which he very rarely gets against Celtic.
But to be fair, I know why you're saying it, and everything in people's minds is about tomorrow, but you've sort of got to separate that, Gordon. What Rangers did yesterday probably won't have any bearing really on tomorrow. This is a rebuild. This is about Rangers trying to eventually compete with Celtic over the course of a season. Tonight, when these fans go to bed and when they wake up, they'll feel like everything's about tomorrow, but it's not in terms of this transfer window.
No, it's about moving forward. It's about change. It's going to take quite a bit of time there, and there, obviously, when next season comes as well, you've got that. But I just think for Clement, to get a result tomorrow would be absolutely terrific. There's no doubt. But I don't think that he's going to come under any pressure at all. He's got players out the building. He's got new ones in. They've got to take time to gel in. I still look at the transfer window, and I think everybody outside Rangers would still fancy Celtic with the way they've went about their business and everything about it. But to win games like tomorrow is important.
He's got
for
the
managers.
Classic dilemma on his hands. Here we have a Rangers team who, for the last three seasons, have watched Celtic lift the title. And Clement is saying it will take more than one window to fix this, and the fans are saying, fed up hearing this. So it's the classic dilemma. He knows that it's going to take time. They don't feel they have time. They want to see a greater challenge to Celtic. So he's in the middle of it all.
In terms of tomorrow, Barami not available, paperwork still to be done. Nareisho is but only trained today, so that's his. Unless there's a bit of mind games, a trick up the sleeve with the latter, Mark, it certainly suggests just the same
go
Rangers group
were.
That's gone previously.
You would say so. And what they're coming into it, not a bad place after last week, I suppose, with the individuals that they had on show. Of course, fans want to see new signings, and that's why it's incredibly frustrating when you see paperwork's holding things up, because you shouldn't leave it. You know, and I'm talking about old clubs, you should not leave it to this late in the day when you've got such an important
Rangers
game.
Really had to free up the wages, though, didn't they,
that's,
as well.
That's so right. What I would say about Philippe Clement is that this is the last time, I think, in my opinion, he can keep referring back to what went before and the legacy it went before.
Yeah, the
him.
Wages are gone now.
Yeah.
You would
Those
imagine.
Those players that he's brought apart in this Hadji. Window, he said Cherney and Barron and Jeff and Proper and Bajrami and everyone else he's brought in, that's shaping his team. So come January, you know, you can't keep referring back to the past. You've got to move forward.
See, to be
with these
fair,
players.
To be fair to him, when he says that, I don't think he's saying they weren't my players. He's talking about the fact that they had high earners there,
yeah,
and that needed to change. Yeah. I think it was more that.
Do you not think a big thing for him now is he's got a chunk of his squad and players that he's brought in at the
well,
club?
It's more than that. We said the stat last night, didn't we, with Scott Wright leaving, James Tavernier is the only survivor from the starting 11 in the Europa League final two years ago.
Right, okay, so he's now got his own squad in. For me, the important thing for a manager is just, because everybody talks about it, right, which style of football we got here. He's no excuses whatsoever now. He's got the personnel. Let's see what he's got to offer. He's a top manager, and I think that's his next step. And if he can prove that, because you seen last week when they beat Ross County 6-0 at Hampden, a lot of people were phoning in talking about, I like the style of football, I like the way we went about our business, how we worked it and how our movements were. We're scoring goals. I think that's got to continue now for him.
As ever, tomorrow can buy him a lot of goodwill. You know, if he gets a decent result at Celtic Park, and that includes a draw, then it buys him time, puts credit in the bank, and he can move on from there. But if it was to be a comprehensive going over tomorrow,
he surely doesn't come under pressure, Hugh, does he?
Not under pressure, but it sends the fans back down again. You know, they got a little encouraged by the 6-0 against Ross County, willing to overlook the fact that Ross County the previous week had got out of the cup to Spartans, no less, without scoring a goal. But tomorrow they need lifted, the Rangers fans. None of them will be there because they can't get in, but they need a result that's uplifting.
Tony Watt scores, but the foul was given for a challenge on the keeper. David Friel reckons it did look a foul, which probably tells you it's not going to fall into that clear and obvious bracket. So you would imagine that decision will stay pretty much as was. You're running out of time on your full time teaser. Get your answers in there.
What about Falkirk? Two down, now 3-2.
I was just going to say,
are they winning?
They're winning in that 40 plus game. Unbeaten run in the league continues. How impressive is that?
Yeah.
Well, for now, unless Morton do something drastic in the last couple of minutes.
And it shows you they've got a bit of character. They're away from home. They go 2-0 down early, and they've come back, and they look like their favourites now to go and pick up the 3 points, keep the pressure. How is Ayr United?
Where still, are a draw, still a draw. Still a draw.
So it puts a little bit of pressure.
Bad days for Ayr, really. Two down to Hamilton Accies, and
that got one back here, 2-1.
Oh, yeah. Right. Yeah. But they're trying to avoid 4 defeats in a row. So important finale to that game.
Oasis inspired, what would you bring back? Stephen Ross says the golden goal after 90 minutes. Did you like that? It seemed to get a lot of stick, didn't it? Like, and obviously that's why they ditched it. I actually quite liked it.
The golden goal. There weren't many about though.
I'll
was
tell
it?
You what,
I
mean,
there was a couple of famous ones.
Who was the first ever golden goal? There's a question for you.
What do you mean? Anywhere in the world?
Euro 96.
Who scored?
Well, I know the guy's to name. That, if that's the right one.
Can you see it on air? No, is that, am I mean? Thinking the German guy that scored the winner in the final?
What's wrong with his name?
Oh no, was it Bierhoff that scored?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I'm thinking of the other forward.
What other one?
What are you on about?
Sorry, there was another forward.
What was his name?
I sometimes call you it.
There you are. 2-2.
Hamilton Accies 2, Airdrie 2. No, apparently they had it in America and stuff like that before. I just looked it up. But I know the one you're talking about, Bierhoff. Is that the one you meant?
No, just made that up. I was.
Did you have a different?
I didn't have a clue.
I don't know if that's right.
I didn't
Is
have
that
a clue.
The first ever golden goal in world stage now.
What about the halfway line penalty kicks? You've got so
like the MLS old damn it used to run.
How many seconds did you have?
I don't know, like 10 seconds or something.
I would never have got there, would you have?
I did that for Dundee United, kind of under 18s at Dens. I had to do that. It was a half time in the game.
Not for me, that.
Put it away.
What was your... Just slot it early, chip the keeper, round the keeper.
No, I just put it, I think I just put it to the side. Slot it.
Did you get in an angle?
No, I went straight up to him.
Straight up and then just right or left.
Gave him the eyes, whipped it in.
Yeah.
Never in doubt. Anyway, what would you bring back from Scottish football? Oasis inspired still. No one's got in touch with a ticket for you, Mark Wilson. We did have that one offer. You have to clean someone's cage and they'll, they'll give you a ticket apparently. The Bankies are 7-0 up, Hugh. Oh. I think they're going to be in the hat for tomorrow's draw. That's just what
are you involved in that, Gordon? Are you? What facts have you got up your sleeve?
Come on, give us one.
So who comes in, who's in at that stage?
None yet, because I need to see who goes through today.
Alright, give us a Clyde Bank stat then. What have you got up your sleeve?
I haven't decided yet.
Clyde Bank
unbeaten this season.
Scored 7 yesterday.
Well, that's it. You're looking at, are they going to be the biggest winners of round one? Oh, this is preliminary round one, I think. Sorry, preliminary round two. I stand correct.
Which SPFL teams are in it tomorrow?
Oh, none. I think it's Lowland League and Highland League that come in at this stage. Again, right. I should really know that, but by tomorrow I will, and that's all that matters.
So you know what he's doing tonight?
Yeah.
You're right, I know.
Lucky Chinsia. Lucky lady.
It's brutal. Because this is the biggest draw of the lot. So weirdly it sort of goes up before it goes down, if you like. So you do prelim round one, prelim round two. When you get to this stage, 60 balls tomorrow. 60 teams.
What times? I'll sit. Is it YouTube or is it on TV?
Well, it's on YouTube usually.
I'll sit.
Is that how you spend your Sunday night?
What time is it? So that I can text you.
It's about 5:30 or something. Find straight after this. For in here all day for the first game.
Sure, yeah, I forgot that.
Find out who the paper hankies get.
Got one of these.
Goal flashes with M&D Green Pharmacy.
Oh, never in doubt, Mark Wilson. Partick Thistle 3, Queen's Park 0. Xander McKenzie on 89 minutes. The Jags will get their first win of the season.
That's a great result, that. Because when you look at Queen's Park, how they've been playing this year, they went to Pittodrie, didn't they, a couple of weeks ago, ran Aberdeen close. So that was always going to be a dangerous, tough game, but they've made it look easy. Well, the scoreline looks easy, 3-0, definitely needed.
Yeah, it's a good finish as well. You know, one of those keeper punches the ball out and he gets it on the volley 20 yards out.
Good player, Sander, yeah, good young player involved with the Scotland set up, the youth set up, coming through the years. Bright future for the young man, hopefully.
There we go, 3 points in the bag for Partick Thistle. Let's round off this teaser then, just to leave room for any late drama, because the two Premiership ties are poised. So,
the second half teaser
with the ScottishSun.co.uk/football for the best football news and opinion online.
I have 16 caps for Scotland and won all three major trophies in Scotland. I have played alongside Joe Ledley and John McGinn, and I have been managed by Alec McLeish and Owen Coyle. I am Tomo Stephen Thompson.
Stephen Thompson. For the record, you would have won it, Gordon DL. I mean, you were absolutely rapid there. And the beauty of this is live radio. When you're making mistakes all over the place and you just need to try and cover them up, I don't think I've got the podium. I don't think we've counted them yet, and I've gone and announced the winner.
Just give it to me, I'll take it. You'll be with us
in a matter of minutes. It's not a great drama, and no one can possibly have been as quick as you. You were writing it down before Hugh even finished reading the question.
It's always questionable. When someone's writing down an answer before the question's finished.
No, I was writing down the clues, Mark.
You were so quick. I was really, really impressed with you. Anyway, Kyle B was in third place, Mike was second fastest, and Dylan Patton is the winner. Well done to you. You can share the bragging rights with Gordon DL. Your Stephen Thompson knowledge is tip top. Right, are we going to get a winner between Dundee St Mirren or St Johnstone Motherwell, or both?
I'm going to say no.
Neither. Okay,
I agree with the Dazzler.
Okay, where's your sense of drama and excitement? None of you.
Has Fraser get VAR at Firhill?
No.
Because it's...
Are you familiar with the championship?
Yeah, because it's now 47. Can't be that many minutes added on. They're 3-0 up. Just blow the whistle.
Well, they still have.
No, they can't have.
The odd substitution.
Minutes. 3 minutes.
Are you forgetting, like, this is not 1970.
Oh, that's what I would do. Bring back two subs only. Number 12 and number 14. What would that would do, you know, the rest of your squad?
St Johnstone, they look like the side that could go on and win that one. Mackenzie Kirk, who we said came on, he set up the goal. He's looking lively. Motherwell will be really kicking themselves if they were to lose it from such a strong position, certainly in terms of performance, if not scoreline. Dumbarton fans will be happy they've rescued it at the end. Dumbarton 2, Kelty 2, a Mark Dernan goal on 89. So it's at that stage where the big goals are going in, potentially changing a lot. Not if you're already comfortably in front like Partick Thistle are. Nothing can be done about that one. But for the rest, very much in the balance.
With regard to Motherwell bringing in 17 new players.
Carey shot saved. St Johnstone are going for it.
Well, I mean, how can you possibly... What's wrong with the club that you had to have that transfusion? 17 new players.
The players leave. It's going to play. And then, like we said, it sounds... Although it is still a lot. Like, Halliday was there last season. Sam Nicholson was there. Those get turned into permanents. And, but no, you're right. It is a lot of... A lot of players for sure. There's a sickener for managerless. But what it does mean is Livy's solid start to the season gets better. Wraith nil, Livy won. Jamie Brandon on 90 minutes. And that is a real sore one for Wraith. Later on, well done to Livy. Dre Wright, a chance to win it for St Johnstone. Sclaffs it wide. Here's a full-time report from Fraser Wishart though.
Yeah, full-time at Firhill. Partick Thistle 3, Queen's Park 0. Thistle fans around me, really happy, a thoroughly deserved win and an important win for Partick Thistle. Without being at their absolute best, but Harry Milne in the first half, Aidan Fitzpatrick and Xander McKenzie in the second with the goals. Not many clear-cut chances for either side in the first half. The only goal came in 11 minutes. A very simple goal in swinging corner from the left by Kyle Turner into the 6-yard box, and Harry Milne just simply out-jumped everyone and headed home from 3 yards into the back of the net. Thistle deserved ahead, but we're looking for better for both in the second half, and we did get it to an extent. Second half started better tempo by both teams. Queen's pressing hard early on towards Robert's goal. Logan Chandler's bright on the right hand side. His pace got him to the byline on a couple of occasions, one with a low cross, the second one with a shot, but neither could result in a goal. Then came James Lyons inches wide from 20 yards, but Queen's were still in it despite Thistle pushing hard for their second. It was still 1-0. Good work by Josh Scott on the left. Set up Dom Thomas with the best chance Queen's had. He struck his 20-yard shot really well, but unfortunately for him, it was straight at Miles Roberts. In 72 minutes, it was 2-0 for the Jags. A real bit of luck all round for this goal. Turner and Chandler's got themselves into a bit of mess trying to get a short corner into the box. The ball managed to get poked to Aidan Fitzpatrick, whose touch and the shot was deflected off a Queen's defender into the corner of the net, but the Thistle fans didn't care about the mess of the goal. They were 2-0. Queen's tried to get back into the game. Spell of pressure on the Thistle goal. Jags defence dealing with it well, and in fact it was the Jags that scored a third at the other end in the 89 minutes. Jack Wills in the Queen's goal punched a Turner corner clear, but only to the edge of the box. As a side foot volley by young Xander McKenzie, he caught it really sweetly. It's a good finish, and he was absolutely delighted when the ball nestled into the back of the net. Jags fans go back home happy. They'll hope this kick starts their season, because they've not been in great form, but they go into the international break in a better mood after this win here today. Full time at Firhill, Partick Thistle 3, Queen's Park 0.
Yeah, convincing win, well done to all involved. There's an interesting scorer from League One in England. Who could that be? I hear you say Scott Wright in the 91st minute has won it for Birmingham against Wigan. So there we go. Dundee are making changes. There's 7 minutes added there, so still plenty of time for a winner. Motherwell have, in theory, gone for it in terms of an attacking change. Moses has come on for Davor, so that's a very much an attacking change to try and push on and get the winner. They thought they had that game wrapped up because of the dominance, but it is 1-1 as things stand, and St Johnstone have had chances to win it now. So Seb Palmer Holden comes on for Dundee, another fairly attacking change, although Scott Tiffany's the man who goes off, and it's going to be interesting, those two. But good win for your employer, Mark Wilson, Partick Thistle.
Certainly was, like we were saying all through the afternoon, that you just don't want to get detached early on in the season, particularly if you're one of the front runners. Everybody looked at your transfer business and thought, yeah, Thistle will be there again. So that win just puts them right back in the middle of the table, you know, puts them level with Queen's Park, who they were playing today. And Livy obviously extend their lead, air being held just now, 1-1. So results have went their way as well. So no, really good, good victory. And Thistle signed a lot of new players as well over the last couple of weeks, so it's going to be a bit of a bedding in period for those. But Chris Doolan will be delighted today.
It's going to be a race to see who finishes first in the two games that are poised. They've both got lengthy spells added, or David Friel's case, they started quite late due to the first half stoppage time, but two each in Dundee, one each in Perth. So a good afternoon, but let's see if anyone can take the advantage, or take the initiative I should say, and kick on and win it late on. A bit of drama, maybe kickstart your season, really give you a bit of something to cling on to.
Do you think when we... Oh, Sean Dyche, he must be due the sack. Two up at home for Everton, now losing 3-2
at home
to Bournemouth.
Oh yeah, that's not
shock.
Good.
Anyway, do you think when the lines open at 5 o'clock, a Rangers fan's going to say, why did we get rid of Scott Wright?
I don't think so, no. But I can see why you ask the question. Speaking of the phone lines though, you might want to start thinking about it. 0141 951 1025. You are spoiled for choice. Rate your transfer window. Did your team do enough? How impressed or otherwise are you? What do you make of Engels or Bardami or whoever it is that came in on the deadline day, or maybe those that left like Todd Cantwell? How do you feel about the game tomorrow? This is the mad thing about transfer deadline day. It pushes everything else down the pecking order. This will be the last chance to have your say ahead of that game tomorrow. We've not really spoken about it in terms of the specifics, like how it will go and who will play and who won't and all the rest of it. So please don't waste your final chance to get in touch with us and let us know how you see tomorrow going. 0141 951 1025. You might still have thoughts on the Euro draws that were made during the week and those 3 o'clock games today. Both look like they're going to be a sort of shrug of the shoulders draw. Okay, so I don't know if we'll get any enthusiastic reaction either way to them, but you're more than welcome on 0141 951 1025. Plenty of full time whistles going, but just not yet in our two Premiership games, I should say. Is an intriguing one coming up though at 5:45.
Yeah, Ross County. Last two weekends out of the Premier Sports Cup, 2-0 to Spartans from the fourth tier of Scottish football. Following weekend, 6-0 Rangers. 8 goals conceded, none scored, and they're playing an Aberdeen team who are 7 wins on the bounce under Jimmy Tielan. They have no chance, Ross County. I would put the house and the caravan in Amsterdam.
There we go. Falkirk's unbeaten run continues. Amazing. And then some. They were 2-0 down at Morton. They've won 3-2. Brilliant from the Bairns at Capello. Oh, penalty shout for Motherwell, claiming for a Cameron handball. Referee not interested. This is where you realise you are an absolute hypocrite, because see, my quick initial gut reaction there was, I wish they hadn't changed the bar of intervention on handballs. When it suits you, you will do that. Moses has had a shot saved though on the tight angle. Motherwell trying to win it. Gogic shoots wildly over for St Mirren as they go for it. At least sounds like we're getting some drama late on. There's an important win for a team that's had, or a club I should say, who's had a bit of a time of it. Inverness 1, Queen of the South 0.
Yeah, you know, they're fighting for survival. But we've got good people in charge now. Ryan Christie's dad Charlie is involved there, and you know, that really is an important... That's the look of a result that helps you turn the corner.
Liam Gordon, imagine he was the man who came back to win it for Motherwell at Perth. What a story it would have been, but it's tipped over the bar. He wouldn't have celebrated, would he?
Oh yes.
Oh, would he? Last minute winner. Oh, that's a tough
got
one.
Got to. Right over to the fans.
That, in fact, do you know what? That's what I'd bring back. I'd bring back time before people didn't celebrate against their own
correct
team. What a lot of nonsense.
Yeah. Agreed.
But maybe someone like him, you're talking club captain, been there forever, those would be the ones that you would kind of understand.
Oh no, not at all. They let him go, didn't
selfish
they?
No, it was just time for everyone.
Aye.
No, I think they would have kept him.
Oh, I'd have been right over.
Exactly.
Oh, now Aston Oxborough has made a brilliant save to keep Motherwell level in it.
Yeah.
I don't even know how we got from that Liam Gordon header to... Oh no, sorry. It's another Motherwell chance. I thought it was Carey. It was Casey. Dan Casey. So again, Motherwell with two headers late on, and the goalkeeper, who didn't cover himself in glory for Motherwell's goal, has really potentially got St Johnstone a point or more here.
Two great games on Tayside, you know, at Dens Park, 2-2, 1-1 there, but plenty of opportunities, plenty of chances for both sets of sides. Yeah, entertaining stuff. That's what we like to see. Both teams, or all teams involved, going ahead and trying to win the game rather than just sitting back and taking.
There
you
are, Hugh. The Bankies 7-0 into the hat, and I can sense it already. The stat just has to be the fact that they won 7-0 today. That's it. That's part of the homework done. Only 59 teams to go.
Is it not also 7-0?
Goal flashes with M&D Green Pharmacy.
Goal, Motherwell. Very, very, very late. It's 5 o'clock, in case you hadn't noticed. That tells its own story. Moses Ebiye is claiming it, but it might have even been a very unlikely double for Dan Casey. What a game it's been. Motherwell dominant, pegged back. Both could have won it. Motherwell looked like finishing strong, but would end up being frustrated. And it looks like right at the very end, unless there's a VAR madness, that the Steelmen have snatched it in Perth.
Absolutely incredible finish. And if we're going with the sounds of how the game went, they probably deserve it. Apart from that, probably 15-20 minutes, St Johnstone equalised and came into it. Motherwell, the stronger team, and they've had chance after chance at the end, and eventually it looks like they've got the winner.
Yeah, and the Motherwell manager,
Dan Casey double. Did you have that in your ACCA?
No, but I'll tell you what, he was not caring, because I think he would have been so disappointed walking away there just with a point. What a time to score a winner.
It might have been Moses anyway, but I don't think anyone will argue too much. Dave Galloway has a full time whistle. Any late drama, Dave?
Not quite. Dundee got that corner kick in the 8th minute. They couldn't make anything of it, Gordon. It finished Dundee 2, St Mirren 2. Overall, a very entertaining match. A lively start to this one certainly set the tone. Toyosi Olusanya missed a big chance for Saints when clean through John McCracken, smartly off his line to block the effort. Curtis Main should have hit the target for Dundee when he did well to get on the end of Mo Silla's ball in, but he shot wide. 25 minutes gone and St Mirren took the lead. Toyosi Olusanya slotting through the keeper's legs after Antonio Portales misjudged a long ball over the top. But after 30 minutes it was 1-1, a cool finish by Curtis Main, taking advantage of slack defending, clipping the ball in. But the visitors regained the lead with a brilliant goal in 36 minutes. Mikael Mandron from about 20 yards out found the net with a terrific half volley with the outside of his foot. 10 minutes into the second half and Dundee equalised again with a very well produced goal. Scott Tiffany drove forward, found Lyle Cameron, who cleverly set up Ziad Larkesh, who hit the ball through Ellery Balcombe's legs. And Balcombe came to the rescue with a brilliant save to keep out Simon Murray's full-blooded drive as Dundee pressed for a third goal. The hosts certainly on top, and Murray fired over from a tight angle, and Curtis Main's header was easily saved by Balcombe from Scott Tiffany's cross. St Mirren spent much of the second half on the back foot, but they started battling back without creating too much. Alex Gogic late on shot wildly over from outside the box in added time. There were 8 minutes added on, but neither side could find a winner as play turned scrappy towards the end. But a hard fought encounter, some entertaining stuff, and it finished Dundee 2, St Mirren 2.
Good game, very good game. And speaking of which, it's finally finished. 5:02 in Perth. Here's David Friel.
Yeah, Gordon, what a game, what a finale. Full time, St Johnstone 1, Motherwell 2. Moses Ebiye and Dan Casey, they can argue who'll get the final touch, but the end of the story is Motherwell won, and Stuart Kettlewell celebrated his new contract with a late, late win and a big 3 points. Motherwell had the best of the first half. St Johnstone come back really strong. They levelled through Benji Kimpioka, and they probably thought they'd secured the draw, but Motherwell struck late on from a set piece to claim a big 3 points. They'd started really well. They'd a penalty claim turned down early after a long VAR check, and they then took the lead in 11 minutes. Andy Halliday fired in a corner. St Johnstone keeper Ross Sinclair didn't deal with it, and Dan Casey's header spun up and over the line. Halliday was denied a wonder goal in 32 minutes by the offside flag. He found the top corner from 20 yards, but the goal got ruled out. St Johnstone had threatened through Kimpioka, but Motherwell started the second half on top again. They get any good positions. Final ball let them down far too often. Didn't have enough bodies in the box. Lennon Miller did get on the end of a Halliday cross. He opted to head across goal. He should have tried to score. Craig Levine is a wily old manager. He knew he needed to change something. He made a triple change just after the hour mark, and with his first touch, one of the subs, young Mackenzie Kirk, made the equaliser with a lovely pass to Kimpioka. St Johnstone striker still had work to do, but he shot at far too much power for Aston Oxborough, and St Johnstone were level. Both sides had a go at the closing stages. St Johnstone had chances, Mackenzie Kirk was really, really good. But then Motherwell, from nowhere, they found some more energy, they found some more strength, and they started creating chance after chance into injury time. Ross Sinclair, the Johnson goalkeeper, made two great saves to deny Liam Gordon and Dan Casey. But then from another corner, Casey got on the end of it, he headed across goal. Moses Abey, on as a sub, he was in the right place, and the ball ended up in the roof of the net. St Johnson's day was then capped when Jack Sanders was sent off for a second yellow card right at the death. Motherwell fans are celebrating with the players right in front of me right now. What a win, what a late drama for Motherwell. Full time, St Johnson won, Motherwell 2.
Well, Motherwell fans, how good was that? 01419511025, that's the number you need. You can look back on today's football, like that dramatic game in Perth. You can talk about the transfer window, rate your transfer window for us, sum it up in a word, in a sentence, with a number out of 10, talk about the specifics and preview tomorrow's big game as well. Right now, 01419511025. We'll do it next.
Action as it happens. And your reaction from 5 on the open line. This is Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
It's full time on Saturday's 3 o'clock games. 2 in the Premiership, Dundee 2, St Mirren 2, St Johnstone 1, Motherwell 2. If you want to look back on them, please do on the phone lines right now. Big win for Partick Thistle, 3-0 in the Championship against Queen's Park. A couple of the other highlights would include Falkirk 2-0 down at Morton, but come back to win 3-2 and keep their incredible unbeaten run going. So those are your headlines if you want to reflect on today's football. If you want to look forward to tomorrow, you probably don't need much encouragement from me in terms of what fixture to look at. So let's do it all ahead of the big game tomorrow lunchtime in the East End of Glasgow. And of course last night, 11 o'clock, Hugh Keevans had just polished off his Malbec and the transfer window closed. What did you make of it? Rate your window. Let's start with Paul, who is a Celtic fan. How would you rate the window, Paul?
I don't know whether it was box office, Brendan, and theatrics at the end. It was a bit close for comfort, maybe. But I think by and large, an amazing window. I'd like to start to get back to last season with Hugh. The fact that we've secured Ida and Bernardo, who he said were okay, inverted commas, last season was Bernardo and Ida. But anyway, I'll move on for that. I was surprised at Iwata going. I don't really know where that came from, because he's the only one who sort of can do the Callum McGregor role. But I don't think any Celtic fan can be, the amount of players that we've shipped out and the money we got for some of them is just absolutely incredible.
Yeah, I suppose that is one mark. We touched on it earlier. In isolation, Luke McCowan is a really interesting one, and lots of Celtic fans are behind it and they know what it means to him, and he's been a good player in the Scottish Premiership. It looks like in that sort of semi-defensive midfield role, I don't quite know if that's exactly how you would pigeonhole Luke McCowan, but the Callum McGregor spot, as Paul calls it, was Iwata not a bit closer to the first team than selling him to Birmingham, as an example?
I thought so. I was surprised. Midweek, I was just saying that Iwata looked like he's done a fairly decent job for Celtic. I think the fans liked what they saw of Iwata, and his involvement was limited to a certain extent, but I always thought that was purely because of what was in front of him, you know, with McGregor and O'Reilly and Hatate. But the games he played, he looked fine. He looked a steady, you know, bet for holding the middle of the pitch. So yeah, I was surprised as Paul was. Is McCown going to play that role? I'm not so sure. I always pictured McCown being a more forward-thinking player than just sitting there and defending. So it'll be interesting to see how Brendan Rodgers plays that side of it out, if he's got a different kind of way of playing.
It was just very loose in terms of, you know, Engels is the O'Reilly replacement, McCown's the Iwata replacement. Like I say, loosely, Gordon, that's not me saying they're exactly the same type, but just in terms of the rough area of the pitch and, you know, the kind of jobs that they'll have to do.
Look, I'm delighted McCown's in, Gordon. I think he deserves an opportunity. He's been terrific for Dundee. I'm with Mark in this one. Iwata does surprise me a little bit, but it goes back to what Hugh's saying about you've got to let people manage. Brendan Rodgers works with him every day, probably doesn't see that progression in him. So he's decided that obviously he goes out the building, then he replaces him with a young Scottish lad. So, well, he's 26, but I'm delighted for the move, but I'm a bit surprised because I seen a bit in a water, but obviously Brendan Rodgers did.
Paul, does the fee, the 11 million for Ingles, is that the signal of intent that you Celtic fans were hoping for from the Celtic board, or would you have still gone maybe one more player? Would you have pushed the boat out even further if you could?
I think something like 40 million out, 40 million in and 32 million out, and still made money. That's the Celtic player trading model, isn't it? So I think you've got to be happy. I'm not sure, as I say, the 11th hour arriving right on deadline day. Somebody at Celtic Park's now got a sort of an appetite for theatre, which we never really had before, and bringing the young boy McCowan to the stadium. And It's you know, boys' own stuff, really, for him. But, I mean, again, he's 20-year-old, so you'll have a sell-on clause. I mean, I saw a stat the other day there about all the players had been let go at Rangers with no money changing hands, and that's corporate malfeasance. That's just incredible. So I think 20-year-old, 11 million, we'll see. You know, you can have this before, and I'll be in a Yetis, and, you know, you just never know, but I defy any Celtic fan to come on and say that the board haven't backed Brendan Rodgers, you know, and you could tell by the beginning of the week that he kind of knew that, you know, he looked relaxed and he looked as if he'd finally got his way. And it just shows you what kind of team Air United might have had if they'd have held on to Gordon DL and Shankland and McCowan.
I don't think he can run anymore, though, yeah. Unfortunately. Let's walk back the corporate malfeasance accusation as well. It sounds a bit strong. Let's just keep it a bit more.
I don't think there's a sense of drama, the whole Luke McCowan business. I think that Brendan Rodgers made himself perfectly clear at Paisley last Sunday. And Paul would have been on in an entirely different mood had the board not responded to what Brendan Rodgers said about the need. The duty was the word he used. The duty to put the best team possible on the pitch. And there then followed transfers, including the breaking of the club's own transfer record. Therefore, Brendan Rodgers 1, board 0.
Yeah, I would totally agree with that, what Hugh says. Brendan Rodgers, I think when he came back to Celtic, he had a picture of what Celtic we're going to be going forward in Europe, and he maybe was a wee bit disappointed at how that was coming to life, so he needed to come out publicly, say what he did, and it sped things up a bit. But we're all guessing, you know, people will have their opinions. It's a brilliant window, done enough. Other people will say, well, it's not been enough, they needed X, Y and Z. Time just tells in this.
What's your take on it now? Just to guess, because it is a guess, it's a prediction. Would you have gone one more winger, say? I think that's what David Friel said at the start.
Maybe.
You know, Maeda, everybody knows his first choice.
I'm looking at Palma, I'm looking at Maeda, yeah. I'm looking at Kuhn. Forrest is still going to play a big part. Sure. Now, I like James Forrest, but I think it's always a question about how you're going forward, not just relying Yang, on where you are. I mean, Yang, again, I liked him flashes, but he just, he doesn't look like he's going to be the next big thing.
But he gets game time.
He does get game time, but again,
you can't. They've got a massive squad now. You know, I mean, you just got, me personally, I think every manager is greedy and wants one more. Of course they do. But if you look at, and I think Paul makes a great point now. See, if you look at this window, if you're a Celtic fan, you go to Bover and Moon. The money that they've recruited as well.
Yeah, the money from, because Matt O'Reilly's obvious. That's just like one of the Mikey best Jones's examples of player trading you can get. £1.5 million from League One, does the business on the pitch. 25 upwards, 30 million. That speaks for itself. But if you add up Mikey Johnson, O, Haksabanovic, Iwata, did we see a fee for Kobayashi? I mean, I doubt it was
Boson Lawal.
It was big. And Boson Lawal, that's kind of how you have to do your business, isn't it?
Yeah. As I said to you, in the year 2024, Celtic have taken in over £50 million from the sale of Celtic players. So the player trading model in financial terms is an absolute success. Now that they have the most expensive player in Celtic's history, they've filled the vacancy beside Carter Vickers in central defence, They brought in a Scottish player who, if he follows in the example of recent Scottish signings, Greg Taylor, David Turnbull, Celtic were very happy with Luke McCowan if he can reach those heights. Now it is over to Brendan. You cannot criticise the board if they break a 136-year history. So now it's over to Brendan and the players to see where they go.
There's no need for Ingles or the likes to be rushed in tomorrow, is there, Paul?
I wouldn't think so. I think they should have enough. And I think even if Rangers win tomorrow, I don't think it matters. I think there's probably as big a chasm now as there's been for a long time between the two clubs.
If there was such a big chasm, though, then they won't win tomorrow, will they? If it's as big as you say.
Well, yeah, it's a one-off game, and you've maybe got a few new boys coming in for Rangers. And again, I don't underestimate. I'm saying it's a bigger chasm. I've never seen the new Rangers players. I just see we brought in a Danish captain as our goalkeeper. We've paid £1 million for a sub goalie. You know, as you say, I American international to partner Carter Vickers. So on paper, it looks all great. But even just going head to head tomorrow. With Bernardo in for O'Reilly, then there should be enough. But you know, it's a one-off game.
Any sort of statement to be made, Mark? I think Ange did similar-ish things. I mean, the problem with when Celtic's players were signed last night, we've not spoke to Brendan Rodgers since, the way we have Philippe Clement, so you can't rule them in or out. But Austin Trusty straight in, or
I'd be very surprised. Yeah. I just think the way Celtic have been playing, though, that's down to that. If Celtic were struggling, of course, you expect one or two to
come. Who went straight in? Was it Juranovic?
Juranovic went in at Ibrox, didn't he?
There's also a problem, and I don't know if it's been overcome or not, but Trusty requires international clearance because he's American. So that one of the drawbacks about going that late into the transfer window is that you might not get all of the bureaucratic matters out of the way. But I'd invite Paul to go back and read what Brendan Rodgers said this morning on the subject of Old Firm games. He said, at the core of every Celtic supporter's story is Celtic versus Rangers. There is no such thing as, it doesn't matter if Celtic lose tomorrow, as Paul said.
I don't think he meant it doesn't matter, as in people won't be annoyed. I think he meant Celtic will still go in the long league term. Was sort of the point.
Well, I just don't understand that, because by virtue of winning tomorrow, Rangers would go above Celtic.
Yeah, but we're getting in like the state and the obvious territory. Either team can lose tomorrow and win the league. I think that's all it was.
The great thing for Celtic is there no rush. I agree with Mark. No rush whatsoever to make a few changes tomorrow. Have a look at the way Celtic have started the season domestically. These guys have been brought in for Champions League, and obviously the amount of games and competitions that Celtic's going to be in. Celtic have started brilliant, so there's no need to rush these guys now.
I was just reading an article about Austin Trusty in the Celtic website, and to you it does sound like tomorrow would be fine. Said, you know, he's ready to, where was the line? I've just scrolled past it. That's not ideal. He's ready to be called upon when required, starting with this Sunday's derby at Paradise.
A unique set of circumstances at work here, because he and Carter Vickers are part of the same national squad. They've obviously played together on occasion. They clearly understand each other. Therefore, you know, what he'd have to get over is being hit by that overwhelming wall of noise when the game starts. He goes out, looks at 60,000 Celtic fans. He'll never, I guarantee, never have known anything like it, Celtic Rangers. So as long as he can get over that, then the partnership with Carter Vickers should be stable to begin with.
Well, thank you very much to Paul. Rate your team's transfer window, whatever that team is. How do you think it went? Would you have done more? Are you satisfied? Somewhere in between? Give us a shout. Of course, we can do the traditional Saturday thing and look back on today's football, and probably looking at you Motherwell fans for that, a dramatic winner. Maybe you St Mirren fans taking a point up in Dundee. And what about the match itself tomorrow? Give us a call and we'll speak to you next, starting with Ian, who'll be up.
The team with the biggest support in Glasgow and the West. This is Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Big game tomorrow, big games today. Transfer window, Euro draw. You are spoiled for choice on 01419511025. What's on your mind, Ian in Dumfries?
How you doing, guys? That's my first time calling. So
well, it's good to have nervous. You. No, listen, it can't be. Whatever you're about to say will definitely be better than what the pundits are going to say. So the pressure's off.
Basically, obviously, I think Rangers have just kind of brought in like for like, well, not like for like, but they've just replaced a few of the players that have went out, obviously, in the last day or two. But I think Rangers have got a great chance tomorrow because everybody's underestimating us. And I think we've got the ability to score goals against Celtic now, as long as we don't concede the first goal. I think that's very crucial for us, though, and as long as we can also keep 11 men on the park.
Yeah, it's difficult to approach this, Gordon, because it's so captain obvious. Mm. Every team wants to start the game well, fine. Mm. Yeah, that's not a brilliant insight. But Ian's right, because of what's happened in this fixture, and it's at Celtic Park, and Celtic have been rapid out the blocks this season, all that stuff. You do get the sense that more than usual, Rangers need to get their start to this game right.
Oh, 100%. Outside Rangers, everybody will probably be tipping Celtic, especially not the fact that they're at home. They've got their, you know, 60,000 their own supporters roaring them on, Gordon. It's the way they've started the season as well. They look a different outfit. Their sharpness, their movement. They've not conceded any goals. They're scoring goals. They've got great options. But I think Paul, Celtic fan who phones in here constantly, he'll be confident Celtic to win tomorrow. But he even admits, look, it's a one-off game. If Rangers can go get their tactics, I think they've got to get their tactics right, because so many times Celtic have dominated the middle part. Callum McGregor has been sensational in this fixture, and you've got Kyogo, who loves to score. They've got to go out, they've got to get their tactics right, got to ride their luck a little bit. If they could get a good start and a goal, what a boost that would be. Look, they've got Dessers up front, and I know I'm a massive fan of his, right? He started the season brilliantly. He'll be looking forward to this tomorrow. If Rangers can create chances, the lad's playing with a lot of confidence. All of a sudden, a chance, and he can get them in the lead. But I've got to say, it is going to be a difficult task against this Celtic team.
I always like picking people up on the things they say, Ian. It's occupational hazard. What gives you the confidence to go as far as Rangers have a great chance?
Well, the thing is, Rangers are a work in progress, if you know what I mean. And for me, every game we're getting better. You know what I mean? It's not like we're playing absolute rubbish. And Dessers is scoring goals. And also, I think he has a predator, because if you look at his positioning, he's in the 6-yard box and stuff like that, where he should be, for his instinct. We've had other players in the past maybe not doing that. Plus, also, it'd be interesting to see how we play in midfield. But for me, it's all about confidence, you know, because I don't go that far away from Celtic. Maybe over the course of the season, if injuries go in, yeah, maybe they'll be a wee bit stronger than us. But we just need to wait and see how everybody's writing us off, even Rangers supporters, before our boys even kicked, which I just don't get at all, to be honest with you.
Yeah, Mark, I think get why Ian wants to focus on those individual games from last season or recently. There's not loads in the 90 minutes. There just isn't. Look at the score lines. We were all there on Cup Final Day. There's not loads, but the common theme is Celtic do it. They just get over they do it. They win. Rangers don't have any record to speak of in the fixture. Yeah. I don't think it's wild for Ian or Rangers fans to cling on to the fact that it's not like you're going in on the back of 5-0 defeats.
No. I mean, you look at the last dozen games and Rangers only won real win in that, and it wasn't really a meaningful game. However, you're right, it doesn't mean that it can't happen. Like, I was a Celtic fan growing up in the 90s when Rangers was so dominant and ran away with most games or won most games, but always went in with optimism that Celtic could win. And there was occasional time they were underdogs and they popped up and did win at Ibrox and Celtic Park. So of course it can happen, because we always come back to it is the two best teams in our league. And Rangers are the closest in competition, whether you like it or not, that you're going to face in this league. And we've seen teams go to Celtic Park before and give Celtic problems. So of course Rangers can, because they've got better players than everybody else in the league. Dessers is a top goal scorer, so he's a threat. He showed that last season. He can be a threat against Celtic. And other players on their day, that's a big thing. If Rangers players are top of their form and on their game on the day, of course there's a chance that they could beat Celtic.
And your man Gordon Dalziel, Cyril Dessers, you and Ian are forming a fan club. what can be said that hasn't been already? The numbers are absolutely fine, and particularly this season. It took him to November to get five in all competitions. Last season he's got that already before we're out of August.
Yeah, and you add to that, I thought that it was a promising start at Tynecastle. I thought he was unlucky on a couple of occasions. Look, for a goal scorer to be successful, you've got to get the service to him, and that's an important thing tomorrow. That's why I'm talking about, usually watch these games and Celtic just dominate the middle of the park. I'm interested to see team lineups from Rangers. I think we could guess what Celtic are probably going to do if they don't bring any of their new signings in. I just want to see what Rangers do. Will they tweak one or two things? Because if they keep doing the same things, they're going to get the same result.
Ian, you spoke about midfield. What does that three look like to give you the best chance?
I'd have Sterling in the midfield alongside the new boy. I can't remember his name.
Baron.
Aye, plus also another key thing is Kearney that we've signed. He's got the ability to beat men, which we've not had for a long time, and he's got an eye for goal as well. I just feel things are getting better for Rangers, and plus it's been a long time coming, so I do think Rangers will win 3-1.
What gives, just quick, sorry Hugh, quick, 3-1 was that?
3-1?
Yeah.
That's
Ian's sticking his neck on the line, and we'll see what happens. That midfield, Gordon, there is a school of thought that Ian and others do share, that sort of Baron, Diamandé, Sterling is just that bit more solid. And although you're sacrificing the so-called 10 and the creative one, Tom Lawrence just has not done it enough in this fixture. On the other side, Tom Lawrence did play particularly well last week, albeit against Ross County. What would your guess that three, predict it for us?
I think, me personally, I would go with the three you just said there: Diamandé, Baron and Sterling. I think you've got to try and out-muscle Celtic in there. You let Celtic dominate the middle of the park, you are going to lose all day long. I know they've got terrific talent in the wide areas. Kyogo up front, your two full-backs come in and make up the five in the middle of the park at sometimes, and they're very talented guys that can get to the byline as well. I think Rangers go there, and if they're too open with Tom Lawrence and people like that in the team, and I like Lawrence, I think he brings a bit to Rangers, but I just think you've got to look at Celtic Park. I think you've got to look at your opposition. I think you've got to look at your circumstances, what's happening. I would try and just go with a stronger three in there, and that would be Diamandé, Baron and Sterling.
Well, the point you made about Tom Lawrence, Gordon, is the important one for Rangers. Celtic, as you said, get over the line. They get there. In the cup final, I think Rangers were the better team. But at the end of the day, Bernardo shot, Butland spills, and Ida scores. And that is Brendan Rodgers' story against Rangers. He's only lost one match against Rangers. So it's how Rangers can approach this match, because no fans, 60,000 Celtic fans who want to see their team go 5 points clear of Rangers, who are enthused by the club having made their biggest ever signing. They also have another centre-back to play alongside Carter Vickers. They like the idea of Luke McCowan being so happy about joining Celtic. If not on the park at kick-off time, I would have all three of those signings on the bench at the very least, because it lends that impression of strength, gathering strength, and to say nothing of the fact that Celtic, 4 against Kilmarnock, 3 against St Mirren, 2 against Hibs. So you get 9 goals for, none against, and they want to build on that.
Only faced 3 shots on target in the league. 3.
See, be fair to Rangers, right? That's impressive starts, but Rangers have scored 8 and only lost 1. Right, it's completely different going to Celtic Park here tomorrow, because it's the way Celtic have started, Gordon. I know that these games last year, they're a bit of bore fest, right? Celtic are a lot sharper for some reason this year. They look brighter, they look sharper, their movement, their passing. Brendan Rodgers has really worked with them. But it's up to Rangers then to go and say, right, okay, we know what we're going to face. We have to tweak something to win the game. Because if they go with the same normal, with Tom Lawrence in the number 10 position, whatever, in my opinion, they won't come away with it.
You mentioned that was an important point. But the back four for me for Rangers has been all over the place. I know what you're saying about the goals conceded. How many chances have they conceded? to Motherwell, to St Johnstone, even a couple to Ross County, and Butland has made save after save. I get it's been disjointed. Proper's been in, he's been out, and Souter's had Balogun beside him, and Tavernier's not started well. Jeffrey, what's he going to be like going back to the pitch? So whoever that back four is, if it is a back four, would they even change the system to a back three? That's going to be crucial.
Thank you to Ian, who's a confident Rangers fan. What about David as a Celtic fan?
Hi, how are you doing, chap? It sounds very confident, but realistically, Celtic play their best at their best that they can play, and Rangers play the best they can play. There's only one winner, which is Celtic. It'll be a comfortable 3-4 tomorrow. Rangers, they can talk about tweaking this and tweaking that. Man for man, when you put them on the park, Celtic have the better players. And again, tomorrow will show on there. And I mean, I heard Gordon saying there, yeah, Rangers have scored 8 goals. Remember, 6 of them are against Ross County. So you think
they've still out, scored 8 goals?
Yeah, they've scored 8 goals, but 6 are against one team, Ross County, who are rotten, basically. So 6 of them were against them. So you can't say, well, Rangers scored 8, as in, and all the games that they've played, they've scored 6 in one game against one of the bottom clubs. Who didn't show up, and I think Hugh said last week as well that Ross County were on for a tanking before the game.
I can't believe we're giving credit to Hugh Keevan's predictions here. We've gone low. This is great. This is great night before the game stuff. We've gone from 3-1 Rangers to 4-0 Celtic in the space of 2 minutes. So,
and the fact of the matter is, allowed. The fact of the matter is, all of the games recently between the two clubs have been very close. But Brendan Rodgers, the story of winning the league last season was Brendan Rodgers staying calm and just doggedly getting through highs and lows, fluctuations in form, and ends up winning the league by 8 points. Philippe Clement thought he had it within his grasp and then went to Dingwall and Dundee, and it was all over after that. He lost the place after that. So it's a big day for Philippe Clement tomorrow, because he has to show that he can do something against Celtic. But I don't think, whatever happens, I don't think it will be a 3 or a 4. It's just not like that between them. It's closer than the fans actually think.
I mean, it could be, obviously, but why do you think this one will be the outlier, David? I think I read earlier something like in the last 10 meetings, it's only been more than a 1-goal margin once, and that was actually for Rangers in that outlying tie that they won, you know, over the last kind of 10 games or so. It's always just 1 goal in it. Why do you think there'll be more this time?
You look at the stats for any of the games that we're on, even the 3-each game, the saves that the Rangers goalkeeper made, the crucial saves, stopped Rangers from getting thing. I mean, Butler was pulling off wonder saves. He put off a wonder save against Kyogo for 2 yards. 2 yards, he's flipped one over the bar. So the Rangers goalkeeper has been the busier keeper and pulled off saves. Yeah, that's what he's paid for. That's what's kept Rangers in the game. That's what's kept the score down. That fact. No, the Celtic. I mean, you can look how busy the Celtic goalkeeper is against the Rangers goalkeeper, and look at the stats.
I just think there's always going to be like margins in games, though, isn't there? As you say, it's kind of what Butland's there for. I'm sure Joe Hart made some saves. Rangers got a couple of goals disallowed in fixtures. Is that not stuff that you just always kind of have to accept happens?
Yeah, I'm not saying it doesn't happen, but the Rangers keeper's been the busier keeper making crucial saves, and tomorrow I'd see it being 3 or 4 nothing.
Yes, and you might be right. I've no problem with that. Just testing the theory. I take it, are you the same as most people? No real need for any of the new boys to go straight in?
I would start with two of them. I'd start the centre. I'd start the centre half. We've been crying out, and I've been on the programme quite a few times saying a left-sided centre back to play along Carter Vickers, and whether he starts in the midfield. McCown, I would think, would come on the second half.
See, that's why you should never assume. I assumed. David was like other callers who said no need to rush them in. David would have them all in, or both of them certainly.
I think, you know, the optics, I hate the word narrative, but I like the word optics. The optics, you know, if you're looking at a Celtic side, 9 goals for, none against, and you're looking at the highest ever signing, Ingles, and you're looking at the centre back and McCown, who has gone to the club that he supported as a boy, etc., etc., I would have them all there. Not from the start, starting though.
Yeah, of course.
But to let Brendan Rodgers say to the fans, there you are. Here's the team that's in a very good place, the phrase he keeps on using about them. And look at these three.
To be fair though, that's simply going to sort of have to happen, really, Mark. Well, not have to, because I suppose I don't think Iwata was in the bench last week. I don't think Mikey Johnson was in the bench last week either. So maybe there's not loads that's been sort of moved around. But Celtic were really good last week, weren't they? Yeah. Brendan Rodgers was delighted with it. So I don't think there's just no need, unless you want to make some big Arnie Ingles or Austin Trusty related statement.
I really do think it'd be unfair on the players as well, who've just signed, and pitching them right in, you know, with very little time to get to know their squad. You know, there is no need. Celtic are playing incredibly well at the minute, getting results, playing good football, it's good in the eye, everybody knows their role. Get into this important game, why would you upset that? I agree with you though. I agree, they will be on the bench, all of them, if not all of them, a couple of them, and you probably will see one or two of them. But the starting 11, I think, is as easy as it gets for Brendan Rodgers.
Thank you very much to David. We're going to speak to Richie, who is coming up next.
Hello, this is Noel Gallagher.
And Sandy Clark comes in and scores for Rangers. The Celtic fans to my left, they rob.
Celtic versus Rangers.
You just haven't done football, so you've been to an old firm game. It's as simple as that.
Tomorrow from noon, Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Can't ask for a bigger build-up than that. A bit of Oasis endorsement for the fixture tomorrow. Let's bring in Richie, who's on the line. How's it going, Richie?
Bad panel. Good evening. How are we doing, panel? All right?
All good in here. All good. How are you feeling about tomorrow?
Yeah, to be honest with you, beyond confident. Just a few points I want to make. Mm-hmm. First of all, it's time to eat humble pie. The start of August, I phoned in trying for, obviously, the media to get signed in, and then Michael Nicholson, with the top cover of obviously the main man, Peter Lowell, is absolutely presented to Celtic Football Club, probably one of the best transfer windows we've seen for a long time. I think the panel would agree on that, yes or no?
I mean, hard to tell on the quality of the player until you see them, Hugh, but you're on board with that in terms of if you've broken your transfer fee, you can't really grumble about a lack of ambition, basically. No. Your take on it?
Yeah, without doubt. They took too long. They had to be coerced by the manager, without question.
In fairness, I get why you say that, but I'm pretty certain if we asked Michael Nicholson, he would say no, that was the plan all along. I get your theory, but you know what I mean? It is just that.
Being an old hack,
an old cynic,
I wrote down every word that Brendan Rodgers said in Paisley. And
well, there's no doubt he was trying to, but you saw Peter Lowell outside saying calm down or whatever the words were, as if...
Well, first of all, I am assured, absolutely assured, that Peter Lowell has nothing to do with the recruitment policy. So you can take Peter Lowell's name and remove it from that argument. He has nothing at all to do with the recruitment. But I maintain that Brendan Rodgers made himself abundantly clear and was listened to. And the very fact, I'll exclude Trusty and McEwen, the very fact that you break the club's transfer record says you're serious about the manager and what he has said. So you cannot criticise the window if you pay £11 million for a 20-year-old. I know he's got good pedigree in the Belgian national squad, etc., etc., but you cannot fault that decision. If it turns out to be a case of bad judgment, that's another matter. But you were back.
Yeah, because that's where you have to balance up number of signings and fees. Because as an example, Celtic could have paid £7 million for Ingles and added two others at £2 million each, and then you've got more players in. But as Hugh says, that record breaking figure, is that clearly the headline, if you like?
Where I give them all the credit about that record breaking figure, Gordon, is they allowed themselves to do that.
And by the way, just quickly, because the record's been broken, nobody's talking about 8.5 or whatever it was for Adam Eder.
Yeah, but they allowed themselves to spend that money in the summer because they brought their business bringing getting players out, transfer fees and everything to balance everything together was fantastic. And you've got to give the board all the credit in the world for that. They've produced now. Hugh said there, we cannot guarantee that these players, whether they're 11 million, 20 million, or a million, how good they're going to be, how they're going to adjust to Scottish football. We cannot do that. Now it's all down to Brendan Rodgers. Brendan Rodgers has been given the tools that he's asked for. It's now down to him. Yes, some people nitpick a little bit and say, ah, we could have maybe had another wide player or a forward-thinking player. But what a squad he's now been given. They've spent the money. They've done brilliant business recruiting money as well. So going forward now, it's down to the manager.
Because the constant reference to the fees, Mark, is something that we all do, to be fair, and you judge the player versus that. But, you know, I wonder if that's kind of overstated sometimes when you consider, like, take Matt O'Reilly. With all due respect to Arnie Ingles, he could not possibly turn out to be the value for money that Matt O'Reilly is. You know, you just can't. Your £1 million player might be brilliant, and then everyone straight from the off is going to be saying, looking at him as an £11 million player, what does that look like? He's not going to be 10 times the player of Matt O'Reilly, no. So that's just not the way it works.
Well, you think it puts you in a better starting position and a lot more belief from the fans in this player. That also brings about a whole load of pressure with that price tag.
But that's what I mean. You think you maybe have to try and separate that? Just a bit.
Yeah, but football fans don't, do they? And that's the problem. You know, we can all judge a good player on the pitch, but some of these players, the tag will never leave them. And look at the other side of the city with Dessers and some of the other signings, their tag gets held over their head all the time. It's just been the way of football. But they're saying it's the best window in a long time for Celtic. On paper, yes. But the old saying, it's not playing paper, it's when the players actually take to the pitch, they'll be judged.
With hindsight, there was a window that Celtic added Carter Vickers and Jota on deadline day.
So exactly. That was a good deadline day.
Richie, any of them coming into your thoughts for a starting place tomorrow, or are you keeping it as is?
Well, to be honest with you, I'm very, very confident for tomorrow. Just picking up on Hugh's point that he made earlier on about Brendan being dogged Premiership or the Scottish Premiership last year. Just want to gently remind him, and maybe he's friends with the caller from 2 ago, obviously thinking that Rangers are going to win 3-1 tomorrow. Brendan Rodgers has been a very, very successful manager in the English Premiership. Took them to within a slip from Stevie Gerrard, gently remind that, of winning the English Premier League. And obviously took Leicester. He won numerous trophies. So for Hugh to turn around and say that he won it dogged, he didn't. Celtic took the foot off the gas. Unfortunately, yep, they had a wee bit of a dart point. But to be fair, for Celtic going into the game tomorrow without sheer confidence, building on from last season and then bringing it forward onto this season from the pre-season, which we all know is a Mickey Mouse, and the start that they've made and the signings that they've made has been outrageous. It's been sensational, to be honest with you. And if you look at it, they're talking about Celtic buying 11, £12 million players, £10 million players. It's only down to one man, Fergus McCann. Fergus McCann started the rebuild from Celtic, something that Celtic can do. And they've been very, very successful at it, and they've picked away and picked away. So wee bit disappointed in you, to be honest with you.
Don't be disappointed in me, because I'll come back.
The offence that gets taken at like the tiny insignificant things you say will never fail to amuse me.
And don't be disappointed in me, be disappointed in yourself, because you are conveniently overlooking the progress of the season. Brendan Rodgers came in and fans didn't want him there. Point number one. He was treated like a criminal to begin with by the supporters. And then they went out of the League Cup at Kilmarnock. Fans were very unhappy because the first part of the season's treble had gone. And there were times when Celtic were booed off the park at Celtic Park over the course of that season. And Brendan Rodgers kept calm, overcame the hostility towards himself, overcame the lack of form, the fluctuations of form, and in the end kept calm and won the league by 8 points. It was dogged in places, because it had to be dogged in places.
The mad thing is, you kind of meant it as a compliment.
Yes. The compliment being, he held firm and Philippe Clement went under.
Let's hear from the man himself ahead of that game tomorrow.
Always tough game, St Mirren. We managed the games really well last season, I felt. But he's an excellent manager, Stephen. I really, really like him. He's very honest to the game. He works tirelessly.
Oh, I think that's last week. That sounds like talking about a different manager altogether, Brendan Rodgers. But there we go. Let's hear from some of the other managers involved today. What about Stuart Kettlewell? A late winner for Motherwell up at St Johnstone.
Genuinely, you see the elation from myself and the staff, the players, and especially supporters. A great way to enjoy your weekend. We stuck with it. You know, we kind of believed that we could get a winner. I think you could see that in our changes. I think you could see it in St Johnstone's changes as well. Both teams were trying to win the game. But a brilliant feeling for us at our football club. Keeps that wee bit of consistency going from us. And I've just said that the players there, it was a trait that we've had for the last, whatever, 19 months or so that I've been here as a manager, that we do score a lot of late goals, and we're going to need that over the course of the season. So brilliant way to celebrate, get into the international break, but you know, we're going to need some more of that over the course of the season, no doubt.
Was it Moses who got the final touch?
Yeah, I think so. You wouldn't know sometimes he's that laid back, but yeah, Moses got the final touch on it, and again, probably alluding to the profile of the player, that's kind of what we thought we'll bring to the football club, someone that sniffs out a chance, sniffs out a goal, and he's done it a few times for us already, and again, I'll go back to it, we're going to need more of that from him over the course of the season.
It's always a mini junction that you reach when you get to that first international break, Gordon. If you've played one of the big boys, as Motherwell have in Rangers, 4 games played, 7 points, you're absolutely taking that, aren't you, into the first break?
Oh, all day long. I think it would have been a different tone if he'd have drawn 1-1, according to what we were hearing coming from McDermott. He let St Johnstone back into the game, but listen, they kept going. They've got that added advantage now that they've got a strong squad, they've got a strong bench. I'm looking for big things, and that's a terrific result. And you can tell in his voice, he's a very happy manager tonight.
Brilliant result for them. You know, dug away there, bit of adversity in there, but showed again that they've got character to get the win. So it's a good start for Motherwell. Fans looking up the way rather than down.
Don't think I've got time to play it, but Craig Levein's raging at the red card. I mean, it was very late anyway. It was like not like the last minute anyway. Raging at the red card, raging the fourth official made the call. Hasn't spoken to the ref because it'll be swept under the carpet like the Rangers goal debacle. Which bit of that was swept under the carpet? It might not have had the outcome that you wanted, or did, I'm sure, you know, the
a couple of days. That's a manager, that, and then it got clarified. I think
that's a manager who just lost one of his strikers for 4 games because of a double red card, and has now lost a game right at the very end, and is now thinking, ugh, if I had an Oasis ticket, it would cheer me up.
Well, speaking of which, breaking news at the end of the show. He's got them.
Get an Oasis tune on.
He's got them.
Do you know
look
that?
At the smile on his face.
Thank you, Leanne. She's only sat in the queue for just going on 10 hours or something like that. But we're there.
All I'll say to that, I'll stop there. Him crying his heart out.
How many tickets you get?
3.
So you, Leanne,
and Dazzler.
And the Dazzler.
We've got one for him. You're in luck.
Honestly,
I'll sell mine. Just get the bids in.
What no Gallagher. That would be.
No Gallagher's at Man City when they're playing West Ham tonight. So I'm just going to check the Nokia when the game's over to see if Noel's been in touch. And I'll see if I can get you any more tickets.
Right, go on then, Hugh. It's been a good Saturday for Motherwell. A share of the spoils for Dundee and St Mirren in the Championship. A big day for Partick Thistle.
Yeah.
Set the scene ahead of tomorrow, though.
Tomorrow is crucial for both. There'll be no Rangers fans there, but it's a crucial for Philippe Clement. He has not beaten Celtic since becoming Rangers manager. That cannot continue. Celtic have bought the most expensive player in their history. They already have a squad that is 9 goals to the good and none against. They want to build on that. It is, as ever, a day to savour.
The GBX is up next. Just the man to get your sunny Saturday ticking along after we leave you. But tomorrow, noon, meet us right here ahead of one of the days in the Scottish football calendar so far. All the build-up, all the talking, all the bravado, the bragging rights, everything that goes around it, it gets partly settled tomorrow. 12 noon, we're here. We'll speak to you then. Enjoy your Saturday.